Hello and welcome to the 16th edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan Wertman and I'm joined by the whole crew once again with Anthony and Jacob. You guys say what up?
What up?
What up?
And so it's been a while since we've all three been together in a podcast together to talk about stuff. And we have definitely been missing the football content without Jacob lately. So let's just dive right into perhaps, you know, the biggest football that you can talk about, the Super Bowl of 2021. What were your thoughts, Jacob, on Sunday?
Well, I, for those that don't know, am a New England Patriots fan. So when Tom Brady left, it was a bittersweet experience for me. I was like, you know what? Good on him. He's going to go get paid actually what he's worth somewhere because he wasn't really in New England. And he goes to the Bucks, and I was like, honestly, I like the fit. I like seeing that Tom Brady would catapult Lavonte David and Ndamukong Suh into the spotlight, give mm-hmm. them a little – well, Sue doesn't really need recognition. It's more Lavonte David, but I was very happy to see that happen. And then as the season progressed, they were up and down. So going into the game, I laid that hole to let people – I was rooting for the Bucks. If it wasn't for the three Nebraska connections – on the field, as well as the general manager of the Buccaneers. I think he's like Jason Licht or something.
Yeah.
He's from Fremont, went to Nebraska Wesleyan. So there's a fun fact for you Nebraska people out there.
Shaquille Barrett
yeah.
went to Boys Town.
He also went to UNO before they killed their football program.
Yeah.
Another fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of Nebraska on the Tampa Bay side. And on the Chiefs side, I wanted to. I like Mahomes. I think he's got a certain happiness about it. I don't know. He seems like a no celebrity's really that nice of a person, but he yeah. seems like a nice guy. No reason except for he's good to root against him, and that's a terrible reason to root against people. But so going into the game, I was wanting Tampa Bay. I was like, and I think the game goes one of two ways. Either the Buccaneers get just the doors blown off of them early and it's over, or the Bucs defense comes to play. I didn't think it'd be this seems dumb, but in my just my gut said it's not going to be a close game. One team's going to figure it out and run with it.
Yeah,
because both of these coaches are not exactly great at playing and making adjustments. They just hammer their game plan until it doesn't work. For example, Philadelphia, the running game didn't exist after Brian Westbrook, right?
Yep.
That's the running back.
Mm-hmm. Well, like after he left, was probably
and
best.
Then after he, there was no running game. Like that just ended. Like they never called. Anyway, that's something that can be talked about later. And then Bruce Arians has never had to really improvise or in mid games doesn't do it very well. So I thought one team would get an advantage and they'd roll. But I'm going to give all the praise in the world to Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. This was a beautiful game to watch, not only if you wanted the Chiefs to lose, but if you like actually like watch football for not just like, oh, that's fun, social background thing. Like if you watch it to appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
that was an absolute clinic put on specifically by the linebackers for Tampa Bay. Lavonte David and Devin White were absolute animals. Antoine Winfield and I'm blanking on their other safety's name. Anthony, you got me or not? If not, it's okay.
Murphy Bunting, or is he corner?
Yes, that's a corner. Anyway, sorry, we can just pass because I'm a potato. Just the entire I tried to like highlight certain positions, and there's no reason to win.
Yeah,
the entire defense just balled out, like mm-hmm. absolutely balled out. And then on the offensive side, the Tampa Bay, their offensive line played absolutely like if I had to make like an MVP ladder. For Tampa Bay, I'd go like Brady at the top because he played extraordinarily well. Then I'd probably put defensive Devin White second. And then the entire offensive line, I would try to say, would be the third MVP for the Bucs team because they were absolutely out of their mind, followed by Fournette. Mm-hmm. But like that offensive line kept Brady up, only one sack and like three hurries for an entire game. granted, I understand that the Chiefs pass rush isn't elite by any means, but absolutely insane job by them. And then it just was an absolute football clinic put on by Tampa Bay, and they shut down Tyreek Hill. They always had a linebacker and safety help on Travis Kelce, so he had some big plays, but not enough to be able to get them out of the rut they put themselves in. Mm-hmm. And then I'll kind of move to the Chiefs side. They didn't have their offensive line, and I don't think people understand how much that hurt. They didn't have either of their actual starting left or right tackles, because their left tackle was out. Eric Fisher. Eric Thomas was, I don't know. Well, I combined like Joe Thomas and Eric Fisher, I think is what I did. Anyway, and then their right tackle had to move to right guard, so they had two backup tackles playing, and Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaquille Barrett absolutely feasted.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just what happened. But in all of this, when I first watched the game, I watched it back again after I got off work one day. I just rewatched the game. I initially was like, oh, I can't wait until Mahomes is something special, and because I think he's going to be. I don't think this is going to stop Mahomes or anything. I think he's going to be capable of doing a lot. But when in the future, when he gets in that conversation to be the greatest quarterback to ever play the game of football, I was like, oh, this is going to be the game where people are going to shut it down. Brady's got it. But if you really watch this game, Patrick Mahomes is the only reason it wasn't 0-31 and mm-hmm. possibly worse. Like, there's some of these, like, okay, so this Chiefs team has gotten behind a lot. Like, last year they were down in the divisional game 24-0 to Houston. They came back and won that game.
I think
24 points.
I think they were losing in every single playoff game last year at halftime, I want to say.
Yeah. Like, so this Chiefs team is never, like, counted out at all. And so then I was like, okay, when are they going to come back? At what point? Mahomes, it's on the goal line. They're not about to score. It's like they're on like the 11 or the 9 yard line or something. And Mahomes gets pressured, has to roll out to his right. And as he's getting hit, as he's completely parallel, horizontal to the ground, he throws it 20 something yards and he hits his guy in the face mask. And the guy drops it. That's when I knew it was over. But that play is also a perfect example of how if anybody tries to put this on Mahomes in any way, shape, or form, you're an absolute bum and your opinion is invalid. This man absolutely balled out. It didn't show on this. Like, he had two picks. One of them was an unlucky tip drill, and the other one was his receiver just not catching the ball.
I heard it said, like, that people said that some quarterbacks in that situation would have just thrown short, easy passes to try to make their stats look a little bit better, make it look like they didn't have, you know, that bad of a game. But Patrick Mahomes was really just trying to win, like make the winning plays, like throwing it downfield and trying to hit the best option available, just to win the game, which is pretty, sacrificed his own box score for the team.
Just to put his team in the best position possible. Because if that's a touchdown, that game is totally different. Sorry, what were you saying, Anthony?
It just reminds me of, one quarterback who plays in the National Football League who didn't have any O-line help this season.
Oh, my Lord.
Number 11, Carson Wentz. So I'm just...
I thought you were going to say Jalen Hurts. I can get behind Wentz. Also, we can talk about this a different episode, like some off-season predictions. I want Wentz to go to Indianapolis.
That team is going to be so good if he goes there, dude.
Okay, the reason I'm saying this is former offensive coordinator for Philadelphia, or quarterbacks coach, or maybe it was both.
Coordinator,
Frank Reich.
Yep.
Him and Wentz were buddies. His offense didn't change when he went to Indianapolis. That's why I thought Jacoby Brissett might be a super good fit there, because I was like, well, if Frank Reich doesn't have to change his offense, he's got not as good as Carson Wentz, but a similar, like, capable of running, strong arm. You know what I mean? I thought, maybe he'll be able to make it work. And then they went out and got Phillip Rivers and made some noise.
Can compare Phillip Rivers to, like, Nick Foles on the offense as well.
No, 100%. And they obviously made both of them work. R.I.P.
Exactly.
The dream. Anyway.
What if Andrew Luck comes back?
He, okay, if he Andrew won't. Luck's, he, okay.
I want him to. I would love it if he came back.
Yeah.
But you don't think it's happening?
I
would
too. I don't think it's happening for a lot of reasons, but that can be a different. I want to wrap up my Chiefs thing really quick.
Okay.
This is also the problem that I've brought up when Patrick Mahomes got paid $500 million. He is going to be capable of potentially being worth that money. But if the other guys around him either A, aren't getting paid, or B, aren't performing how they are getting paid, you can't do anything. Basketball, you can get away with it a little bit more, but you still can't. Like,
yeah.
The NBA is different than the NFL in a lot of ways, but like football, I think, is a lot more like you rely on one guy, like 40%, but then the rest of the team needs to show up for that 60%. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, those five guys on the offensive line would have changed. If they would have had their starting offensive line, this is a very different game.
Yeah.
Like, and all those stupid people on Twitter. I hate Twitter. It's the absolute bane of the planet.
Oh, yeah. It's awful.
But all these people on Twitter going, oh, this should have an asterisk next to it. Are you kidding me? Go suck a sock. I don't know. Just, what a bunch of bums. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, this needs to have. Are you kidding me? Oh, well, guess what? UNL needs to have it. Tom Brady's 43 years old. Does that remove the asterisk? No, it doesn't. Like, you can't do things that are like, oh, man, this just blows. I can't stand people on Twitter.
And then just
Twitter.
Blaming it on the refs when.
Okay. You know what's a fun fact? Fun fact, everyone. Jacob's getting a little heated. When you run a defense an entire season where you tell your guys to grab a little bit and you don't get the one reffing crew that calls holdings most of the time, that sucks for you. Mm-hmm. But fun fact, when you're playing a defense elite, like wrong, I don't want to say illegal, because it's like a lot of the stuff the Chiefs players were doing, there was only one call I disagreed with, by the way, that whole game, and it was a Tyrann Mathieu in the back of the end zone shove.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I was like, that's a little stupid. Mm-hmm. Only one. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, I was 100%. The Mike Evans one that everybody was up in arms about. Obvious. Oh, he tripped. By definition of the rules, that's the like
that's PI.
Correct.
You're,
correct.
He's
play.
On the receiver tripping him. Like
correct call by the refs. Like, you know what I mean? The only one that I was like meh was the that push out of the and the calls on the Tampa Bay as well. I agreed with all the calls that were made. There was a couple times that I thought, like, I thought Brady should have gotten flagged when he got in Tyrann Mathieu's face, too. I thought it should have been a double flag.
Yeah.
I also thought that Ryan Jensen could have drawn a flag or two throughout that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Ryan Jensen's also, if I ever get a Tampa Bay jersey, it's not going to be a Tom Brady one. It's going to be a Ryan Jensen jersey. I love this man so much. But there was
Lavonte David interception. Should have been a interception.
They should have looked at it. Yeah. I wanted to see another angle.
I would have, okay. The only reason I wanted that to happen so bad was obviously because of the place Lavonte David has in my heart. But like, yeah, that would have been, that was, and like David even called it. You saw him say like hand on the ground. Like you saw him like motioning towards his hand.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this was clean, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just, this team's going to have problems next year, Tampa Bay, as in this team. I think the Chiefs are going to bounce back and they're going to, I hope, I don't know if it'll happen, but I hope Mahomes restructures his contract to maybe get like more of a bonus. Like, oh, I'll restructure this year and I'll get a, because players do this all the time. The most common, I can remember a big guy, like a big name doing it. Von Miller restructured his contract to pay some people in the Broncos where they like take a big signing bonus when they re-sign this contract. So they get the same amount of money. It's just distributed differently so they have more cap space. I don't think if Mahomes does that, like that's, he's already gone up to like the third best player of all time. And he's not actually, but like, just like being that type, because that's what Tom Brady did for such a long time, and that's what allowed him to go out and win all these games, as well as his performance on the field. But
yeah.
So anyway, both these teams will be back. I think Tampa Bay I'm a little real worried about because Shaquille Barrett said he wants to get paid. Chris Godwin needs to get paid.
David's a free agent.
Lavonte David's a free agent. I think he'll come back though. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys that need to get their money. And they've got a lot of money tied up in Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski. And Leonard Fournette's going to be gone too.
Mm-hmm.
Which he also like, I was, like, smiling because I just kept thinking of Mike Allscott, the A-Train, with Leonard Fournette running with those high knees. Just absolute great Tampa Bay. Look up, like, fun fact. Logan, you're not a super big football guy. Anthony, you've probably heard of him. Look up Mike Allscott powerful runs, and you will just smile. If you appreciate power and just I'm bigger and stronger than you type of runs, that's what he did his whole career. Anyway, look those up. Even listeners do that.
Oh, but yeah. I've seen this guy. Yep.
He literally, like, Barstool did, like, a ranking of top fullbacks of all time, and, like, they quoted something as the fullback tilt, like, where you run at this angle that is, like, you are the fullback, and he is that, but he wasn't running back. Anyway. That was a really long-winded me talking about the Super Bowl. I could keep going and, like, break down little parts, but...
No, I got questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Main one, you know, when Brady first went to Tampa Bay, I was, you know, asking you all about how you felt about it, whether you were, like, sad that he was leaving New England and stuff like that. And so, like, the position you kind of put yourself in over and over was saying that you wanted Brady to do well enough in Tampa Bay to kind of show that, you know, he was one half of the equation and it's not just all Brady or all Belichick. Do you think that his seventh ring really does solidify that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it has to. And if it doesn't, you're a bum.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's because I am, like, I'm on the Patriots side, not the Brady side. It's like some people follow a player. This is a new phenomenon, but I'm stuck with the team, and I just appreciate Brady's greatness from my couch and at the game sometimes. But, like, the big thing is, like, I think that Belichick can, because he's a coach and you lost your, if it wasn't a quarterback, you know, he lost such a big position. I think that he maybe gets a couple more years to prove that he's, like, not, it wasn't just Brady carrying him. He was part of the equation too, but Brady solidified what he was from taking a 5-12 team or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Granted, they were an underperforming 5-12 team, and you can't discount Bruce Arians and bringing in Todd Bowles and Brian Leftwich, right? That's his.
Yeah.
Byron, I think. Pepper.
Byron Leftwich.
I get them confused sometimes, but Byron Leftwich also called a great game, by the way. I gave love to Todd Bowles. They both deserve all the love.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so anyway, big Tampa Bay's got a lot of good things going for them, but they got to pay a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, Brady's locked in as the GOAT. Like,
yeah.
I think this made him the GOAT of all sports.
Oh, really?
Oh, I do. Because
So I feel like there's...
The GOAT of all team sports.
Oh, team sports. Okay. Because I was going to say, I feel like the top two have to be, like, Ali and Jordan, for me at least.
Not Jordan. Nope.
You don't think so?
Jordan left and was old and couldn't do it. When he left and went to Washington, he couldn't do anything.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess. But at his peak, nobody bested him. Nobody bested Jordan at his peak. Like, Tom Brady lost, you know, he lost Super Bowls. He lost, like, big games, in his prime. He's more like... He's more like a hyped up version of Tim Duncan.
How many years was Jordan in the league?
How many years was he in the league? 15 total.
15.
But like,
how many? He went to what, 6 titles?
Yeah, well, I'm saying once his team got over the hump in the 90s and they went on that run, no one ever beat them on that entire run until he retired and then came back later.
I would also argue that Jordan had better pieces around him, as in 3-4 if you count the coach. Like, lock Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't ever Tom Brady, like, you know, wasn't he ever, like, outplayed in a Super Bowl by another quarterback or something like that?
Not by a quarterback, by defenses, you could argue. An 11-man unit and a coach outplayed him roughly because, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, Jordan's gone up against, Barkley in the best season of his career, Malone in the best season of his career. And people were saying, you know, this is like, you know, Clash of the Titans, and he just embarrassed them. Like, he completely demolished them. And, you know, they were comparing him to Clyde Drexler for a while. And that was like one of, you know, the greatest playoff series anyone's ever played was Jordan versus Drexler.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, whenever there's
the
like
only thing that I'm going to So, like, in basketball, you can, like, try to get rid of a guy. Like, you can try to. But there's only five guys on the court, so there's only so much you can, like, commit to one person. Like, yeah, double teams, that does a lot. But, like, in football, when, like, the way you beat Tom Brady is you take six of your 11 players and their only job is to make his day harder. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I'm not saying Tom Brady's the best athlete to ever play team sports.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a football-basketball differential thing then. I put Jordan 2, and I think Gretzky, if you're going off of just what they could do, Gretzky's the GOAT by miles, and you can't change my mind on that. You know what I mean?
Mm. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just hard to compare so many sports.
From sport to sport, right? Because if you're
going, like, you can be like, oh, but there's Ronaldo and Messi too. Ronaldo's 36 playing against the best players in the world and still has such a high output. Same with Messi, yeah, who's already getting older. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to compare those sports.
Isn't Messi older than Ronaldo?
No, Ronaldo's older by two. But Messi's still better, so. Full time.
Yeah.
But, it's just hard to compare sports.
Really, no, I guess for me, looking at it, I've always, lately, I guess, I felt a lot like LeBron and Brady are kind of on similar levels.
Oh, yeah, not even close.
You don't think so?
No.
Because, LeBron's been, he went to 10 straight finals, eight straight finals, but he's been to 10 total. Brady has been to 10.
I guess you could say that they're like championship-making statistics are similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't put them in the same.
Like, yeah, I guess Brady's definitely won a better percentage of his.
I don't even want to say like what they've won, but like take out this year, I still put Brady in the same conversation as Jordan and Ali is who you said.
Yeah, as the greatest most dominant athletes ever. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Ollie's just, like, I don't know, the story of, like, the person no one's ever been able to, like, beat, you know? Like, he was just...
He lost five times.
But that was after he came back when he was old. Like, how I'm thinking of it is, like, the greatest stretch that anyone's ever had. Like...
I think, okay.
True, but Floyd Mayweather went 49-0.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Team sports goats is where I'm at.
Yeah, but with Brady though, you know, he's more, his case is more of a longevity thing, you know, so it's kind of a different argument.
Tom Brady has three, arguably four Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like three strong ones and then four weak ones. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, but I don't know how to, like, for me, he's the. Well, then it's going to make me look like I'm saying John Stockton's the greatest point guard of all time, and he's not. He's up there, but he's not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you're going purely off of longevity. But I think that I just have Tom Brady as the team sports GOAT. I might honestly go – actually, I'm going to go Brady, Gretzky, Jordan. I have Jordan third because Jordan always had a team with him. I'm not saying when you compare LeBron and Jordan, I still have Jordan above him. But it's hard to compare across sports, but I have Brady and then Gretzky and then Jordan.
Fair enough. I agree to disagree.
People like sleep on Gretzky because nobody plays hockey. Like nobody plays attention to hockey.
That's true.
No, I'm not saying that about the Gretzky part, but I mean, what you're saying about Jordan always had a team with him. I mean,
if Brady would have played for the Eagles his entire career, Anthony, what would you say?
Say that again.
If Brady would have been an Eagles entire career, what would you have said?
I mean, you're comparing a terrible organization to a very good one.
Really, yeah. A very good. You're calling the Eagles a very good.
It's the opposite.
Oh, okay, but that's not my point. If Brady would have stayed. You just flip where, like, the Patriots are in Philly instead, and they're the Eagles. You know what I mean? Like, you perfectly flip them.
Like, you were a Patriots fan instead of a...
That works, too.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
I'm just saying
like, you'd have a little bit of a Homer bias to it.
Yeah.
But like,
and I'm not saying that I don't. I'm not discounting that I don't because Brady made my childhood Mondays at school infinitely better because I could just laugh at people. But like the only year that I was sad was when we lost, and it was to go into Super Bowl 50. It's when we lost to the Broncos. I say we like I did anything. I just watched the game.
Yeah.
And then my mom felt bad, so I got a Christmas present early or a birthday present early. But anyway, I'm not saying that I'm not a homer, but I just think being okay, like, and they've showed all these things. Tom Brady's more likely to make a Super Bowl than Jordan is to make a shot, than this is that, like, all these things are to happen. But my thing is, like, the amount of, like, star power Jordan had around him, and I'm not saying that basketball doesn't need that, because, like, you go back, basketball, you always need to have star power around you. Even if they're not the tippy-top star power, you need to have star power of some kind. Like, even those Spurs team, which prided themselves on being, like, oh, we're just a deep roster. You had Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. Just because they're not, like, selling millions and millions and millions of jerseys, like, people around, they still had three stars.
Two and a half stars. I think it's debatable, you know, I mean? Though, that you could say, you know, how many teams in any sport ever really that won the championship would have been able to win that without, say, their second best player on the team? You know, I feel like that eliminates, there's only a few. I feel like maybe like Dirk and the Mavs, like that could have maybe happened.
That's like the, that's fair.
But like, there's not a whole lot of teams like you need that, you know, like if without Jordan on those Bulls teams, they weren't anywhere close to what they were, you know, but with Jordan, they're like the greatest team of all time.
They weren't going to win all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and it's also, it just feels weird to rank Jordan third for like in all, like all team sports, because in his sport, there's LeBron James, and I just feel like LeBron James is so, I don't know, like crazy of a legend that he's not even the best in his sport all time. Like, it's just kind of weird to put the guy that's better than LeBron third. You know what I mean? Because like LeBron is as far as like all, you know, all team sports goes, LeBron's got to be what, top five, top six? You know, he's really far up there too.
I probably have him
four, maybe, probably
like top eight.
Okay. Wow.
Hey, do you got to include the most popular sport in the world as well if you're going to talk about?
Well, so who's the best soccer player of all time? Is it Pele, or is it
Ronaldo? Is it Messi?
My opinion is Messi, but Ronaldo, Maradona, and Pele are all very close as well.
Yeah,
so
but like
there's like four potential goats.
Yeah, and the consensus isn't very clear, I guess, on that. And with basketball, it hasn't been super clear lately either, just with all of, you know, because LeBron's been doing what he's doing right now. But I think when it's all said and done, after LeBron's retired and we kind of look back a little bit more, it really depends on how far LeBron does go with his longevity, I guess. But that's what it's going to turn into. It's a longevity debate versus what, you know, the best player of all time was at his peak.
Okay, so is there a... I'm on the Gretzky thing, because I really think Gretzky is the greatest individual. He couldn't carry his team because hockey's a lot deeper and more team-based than a lot of other sports are. But, like, okay. Most goals in the season, he had 92. The next closest just broke 60 last year. Like, assists, he had 163 assists in a season. The next closest, 141. In his entire career, you get rid of every goal he ever scored, because in hockey, you get a point for a goal and an assist, like in the stats, how many points you've scored.
Oh, yeah.
You get rid of every goal he ever, like every puck he put in the net, he still is the leading scorer of all time in hockey. Like, is there anyone, like, any point of being like that much more dominant in your sport that you get, you know what I mean? Like, just because there's not somebody to like rival you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I guess I don't know much about hockey, so I don't know if it's like a little bit of the, I don't know if it's a little bit of like the Wilt or Bill Russell inflated numbers type thing. But I have no idea. I don't know if hockey was like, you know, how many teams did they have back then? And I don't know. So,
and I don't all know these. I don't know all the numbers perfectly either. I just know that, like, Gretzky is insane. Yeah. Like, he had a 39 game stretch where he scored 50 goals. And in hockey, that's like, yeah, it's just, these are all like 51 games in a row he scored a goal. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah. No, I like that. We turned it into like a GOAT debate across sports.
Across sports. And yeah, that's like, and I'm not discounting that it's like hard to do. I don't think, yeah. And maybe I get on the Gretzky, like, because numbers are like, I don't want to say numbers are flashy, but like when you see like how dominant that, like almost 50% more or 30% more than the next closest person, that's insane. Like that's like, mm-hmm, if Steph Curry went out and like made, we'll use 1,000 three-pointers in a season. That's a terrible number, but we'll just use that. 1,000 point, or perfect example, points, all-time points. Let's say the leader, like Kareem, only had 10,000 career points. The next closest person would be like 66,000 or 6,600 points. Like that's the gap. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
You guys, yeah. It's just wild when you look at like how much more dominant.
Yeah.
But that is,
yeah, the tale of goats. I don't know if we could ever really come to a complete decision, I guess, on that. But yeah, it's interesting. And also, you know, Tom Brady deserves to be in that conversation. I'm not going to discount that at all, especially with this Super Bowl. Do you think this is his most important Super Bowl of his career? Or would you not want to rank him?
After he turned 37, if you had to like go back like, oh, for your legacy, the one where he beat Seattle and everybody was like, oh, there's no way, he's 37, he's on the downhill, we've seen him slide. There was like that famous clip of Max Kellerman saying, I don't think he wins another one. Like, I don't care how long he plays, he's not winning another one. And then to have four more after that. But I think that, like, I think they're all equally wild.
Hmm.
But, like, he wasn't what carried those first three. That defense was.
Yeah.
But he was the reason they won the next three and then four, kind of.
Mm.
So what if he just, like, pulls out, like, a Star Wars and goes three trilogies? He goes, like, the first three, this middle, like, the first three he didn't carry, the defense did, the next three, and then these last three, the defense will carry him. Like, Peyton Manning. Only reason Peyton Manning doesn't have one ring. Changed my mind. Anyway.
He should have won both of those games against the Giants as well, in my opinion. I think his defense let him down in the fourth quarter.
But it's a team sport, so it is a
team sport, yeah.
I think that there's a, like, I think that every single time the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, if it was a football or a basketball type thing where it's like best of three, New England would be they would have not lost a single Super Bowl.
Yeah. Most likely.
And I'm not trying to take away anything from those teams.
Maybe against the Eagles.
No.
We'll see. No.
I don't think Nick Foles can do that three games in a row.
Yeah. Do you think?
I just think if that helmet catch doesn't happen, then they win that Super Bowl right there. If that Mario Manningham catch didn't happen, they win that Super Bowl against the second Super Bowl against
but
the
But I don't want to take anything away from Spagnuolo. Those defenses played great. Those even the Eagles will throw those in there. But like Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, he was bald. He had a milk dud. He was like a light skinned middle line. Antonio Pierce. I'm really proud of that.
Well, there's the dude with his last name started with a U, I think.
Utapu? That's like a Seahawk.
No, like Omanora, something like that.
Usi Omanura. Okay, yeah. I'm just, it's O.C. Omanura or something. Yeah.
O.C.
O.C.
Umin,
Jason Pierre-Paul.
O.C. Umanura, number 72. Umanura.
Yep.
He was very good as well.
Like those, and then on the Eagles defense, they just had a really stout front seven.
Yeah, that front seven. Just our rotation with that defensive line. It was literally the defensive line.
No, and it was just, yeah. Anyway, we can continue on now. I don't know where we want to go with this.
I wanted to continue that comparison I made between LeBron and Brady earlier because I just thought of another thing.
Okay.
Because when I was asking you about what his most important ring was, the one that I was thinking of, besides this one, the seventh one, was the Atlanta one. because you know,
he's
kind of single-handedly won that game in a comeback, you know, from 28-3. I think he threw over like 500 yards that game too.
Yeah. I didn't think he should have been Super Bowl MVP, but
thinking James White.
Yeah, James White. There's no way it shouldn't have been. But no, I get like that offense orchestrated by him.
Yeah. But and then so, and I feel like that really, I don't know if how much GOAT conversation was happening with Tom Brady before that Super Bowl, but I feel like that really kind of cemented him, at least in the conversation at that point. And I feel like the 2016 Cavs championship did the same thing for LeBron, you know, like being down 3-1, and LeBron put together three of the best games anyone's ever played in all of basketball in a row. And just, you know, won that ring against the 73-win Warriors. Without that, I don't think people are really having a conversation about Jordan versus LeBron. If that never happened, I really don't think that he'd... I'm sure, like, some LeBron stans would just, you know, they'd still be trying to push that narrative, but I don't feel like it would be near the level as it is now. It wouldn't
have ground.
Yeah, without that happening.
If the Lakers come back and win this one, that's when he actually gets... Like, we've talked about it a little bit, you and me, Logan. Like, I think on the pot, but, like, this... if he gets another one, like, back-to-back, then he really starts, like, genuinely gaining ground.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, but it's also, like, with the thing with LeBron, is he has that series to point at as, like, one of the best series anyone's ever had in the finals. You know, it's up there with both of Jordan's two best. You know, arguably even better. But then... LeBron has the 11 finals where he completely folded and nobody even close to the top, like in the top five all time, have had a playoff series or a final series that bad before, you know?
Well, then, yeah. And my other thing, like getting away from basketball and going back into the football compared to basketball.
Yeah.
When a guy comes back in football, I find it a lot more impressive because he doesn't have a day to go home and like think about it. I'm not saying that coming down from 3-1 where your back's against the wall for three consecutive games. Like, I'm not saying, I'm just like, in football, if you don't figure out at halftime or going into the fourth quarter, you don't get to like wake up, reset, and go back at it again.
Yeah.
You don't get 0-0 again. If you're in a hole, you had to dig yourself out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, I put, if I had to, like, take a scale and then overall team sport GOAT status, put LeBron's 17 finals and then Brady's comeback, I'd think Brady's comeback would have a little bit, not a, like a ton more weight, because both of them were insane. 3-1's insane. And then down 24 with 20 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
But no, it just, across sports is super hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. And we've been doing it for 20 minutes.
We have been. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. It was just interesting. Like, it came into my mind because I was like thinking of like, you know, Tom Brady and LeBron as, you know, being right now way older than people would have thought. You know, they would have been performing at this high level still in their career.
Yeah.
And also, you know, just, you know, winning championships. Brady just won this year and LeBron just won the, you know, previous year.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, just thinking about how I think two of their biggest moments in their careers were, you know, coming back from a huge deficit in the biggest game or in the biggest stage.
You know? On the biggest stage in their respective sport.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. I just wanted to hear you guys take on. Obviously, I think you guys, especially Anthony, has a bit of a LeBron bias, like against him. But,
indeed.
Yeah, you definitely do. But,
but then I'm on the side where I have a pro football bias.
Yeah. So that's true.
I don't know.
Like, I wouldn't say I would put LeBron over Brady. I just think it's an interesting conversation.
And no, 100%.
I think Brady, just, you know, sheer, you know, he's 7-3 in the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
LeBron being 4-6.
Technically 3-6, Mickey Mastering.
But okay, jeez. I just talked about how stupid asterisks are. What a...
That one's an asterisk.
Name a single team that played worse in the bubble.
Say that again?
My 76ers. Name a team that played worse in the bubble.
What do you mean played worse? Where you
watched it and saw worse basketball.
Oh. Toronto?
Okay.
Utah, maybe? I mean, Utah had a good first series, I guess. Clippers, yeah, for sure. Not even close. Definitely Clippers.
Miami Heat. I mean, that was a fluke.
Who else would have made it?
Think it was a fluke. They had a really good postseason run. They were playing really well.
I'd argue that outside of those select few teams, because their guys didn't take it seriously and they didn't stay focused on basketball and stay focused in the bubble, not a single team played worse. Get rid of the injuries that happened and the guys that couldn't be there because of family. Like, get rid of all that stuff. But just exclusively the teams that, like, take into account guys that were gone. Like, I get the Sixers, they're a bad example because they didn't have
Sixers. Wait, are you arguing that it should be an asterisk or no?
No, it shouldn't be.
Oh, okay. I thought you were arguing.
Harder to win in the bubble.
Okay, I get you now. Yeah, I thought you were agreeing with Anthony.
No, okay. I'm disagreeing adamantly.
All right. Yeah, I stand by that. I mean, I don't think, you know, every championship is different. So you could formulate a way to say, you know, there should be an asterisk by this one. You could say that about the 99 Spurs title. I think that's really where that term was invented.
Does the Rockets championship have an asterisk? Oh, Jordan wasn't there.
Yeah.
Does that get an asterisk? Anthony?
No.
Does the Eagles one get an asterisk because they didn't have their starting quarterback? Oh, Patriots didn't have enough film on Foles. That's why they lost. Asterisk. Get wrecked.
No, I did. It's just still an asterisk for me.
Oh, my.
Just Mickey Mouse, you know, Disneyland. The Mickey Mouse ring.
Mickey Mouse is all about the underdog, and the underdog didn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mouse is also a pedophile. Oh, you can cut that out, but I don't know.
Leave it.
Lakers had a really good season last year, though. They were really good on both sides of the ball. They have two of the best players in the NBA. Who else do you think should have won the championship?
I just hate LeBron, dude. I don't like LeBron, man. I don't like the Lakers. Well, I didn't mind the Lakers until LeBron went there.
Yeah, I don't know. LeBron, you know, lately he's been playing really well. I get the people not liking him, and you know, I have a bit of that every once in a while too, where I just am put off by the guy. But you can't deny that he's one of the greatest players of all time.
And this is what makes me so mad. Everybody, like, there's no one that doesn't do this. I'm trying to get to the point where you learn to appreciate the greatness that's going on so you can watch it. And you don't got to look back on the greatness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why not appreciate the greatness now? Yeah, he is irritating sometimes and kind of a meanie head when he jumps on Jason Terry and you have to see the Celtics getting posterized over and over for forever. But, like, it's just, I don't know. He's a special generational, we'll never see somebody like that again type of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as much
one of the greatest,
yeah,
like playmakers of all time, especially at his size, nobody's been, you know, he's like Magic Johnson, but in the body of Karl Malone.
It's just gross.
And then he can also create his own shot. Like, he just has all the different, you know, up and down the line, you know, the checklist of things you want. I think the biggest thing is, where, you know, that puts me off from wanting, like, having him as the GOAT is, you know, he does have all these blemishes on his career that Jordan doesn't really have. And also, you know, throughout the season, LeBron, you know, he kind of reserves himself on defense. You know, he holds it in and keeps it for the biggest moments. You know what I mean? And I just don't like people wanting him to win MVP every season, saying that he should have 10 MVPs throughout his career and things like that. When I'm like, he coasts through the season so much, like so often, you know, those Cavs teams, what was the highest seed they ever were? You know, like they were usually like 3 or 4 or 5 seed every year. You know, they made it to the finals every year because he turns it on in the playoffs, but he coasts through the season. Jordan, every single game he showed up to, he tried to like completely dominate with like all of his will. Like it was, it's just like a very different thing, you know? Like Jordan elevated his play in the playoffs, because the moment was bigger, but he wasn't intentionally, you know, putting like load managing, you know, or taking games off and stuff like that throughout the season. And that's just why, you know, you end up with the product of what Jordan produced in the 90s.
And he didn't have to get carried off the court by three people because of a cramp. Sorry, the, go on. Yeah.
The, wheelchair.
Yeah, 14,
Paul Pierce wheelchair poop.
Oh, yeah. There's that one, too. But
the thing I don't like either of them.
Well, Paul Pierce is actually the GOAT, as we all know, so.
Nice. All right, well, I guess that's enough for GOAT talk for now. We kind of beat that one to death a little bit, but it was fun. So with just crossing over a little bit into the NBA, just to hit on a few little topics, or I guess big ones, but for a small amount of time. You know, Lakers and Jazz keep rolling. They're at the top of the West. Anthony's 76ers are at the top of the East. Jacob, how do you feel about that?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and then Jacob's Celtics are actually fourth in the East, despite being only one game over 500.
Don't want to talk about
it. You don't want to talk about Celtics at all?
No.
No? Okay.
I understand that Peyton Pritchard's a great player and they got a great value for the 26th pick.
Yeah.
But you know what we don't have? A center.
Yeah, but what's been hurting you lately is Peyton Pritchard not playing. Because of his, what was that? Is he strained his Achilles or whatever?
I understand that that's hurting our play. But you know what would be really great? Just like a 6'11", girthy man that could just...
Go go get Andre Drummond.
Oh, you don't think I wanted that 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Trade Kemba.
That's going to happen for Lonzo Ball.
It's...
Lonzo Ball, Steven Adams for Kemba. Do it. Send it. Just kidding. I like Kemba too much.
I don't know. I think if you're going to give something away, I think it... You got to trade Kemba to get a
like. I just don't know. What's Kemba's value at this point?
I don't know.
Who wants Kemba right now?
Who wants cardiac Kemba? No one.
Like a team that wants Kemba right now has to be a team that wants to win right now because he's a aging short point guard that you know probably doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank.
Oh, he's got a 3-point shot, Anthony. You want him?
I have it.
If you send me Ben Simmons, I'll cut your hands off.
Dwight Howard for Kemba?
Are you high? Do you think they have the same value?
You'd have to, the contracts work.
Unless a time machine to 2007 is also included in the deal. I don't want to play.
No, but I mean, you could do something like that. Like, you could throw some more.
No, I don't think we'd trade to the Celtics.
Really?
No.
Wouldn't happen?
I think they're too much of a rivalry to do it.
Yeah. Frickin'
makes sense.
Stinking Al.
No, but Peyton Pritchard is the point guard of your future, bro.
No, I know, and he's... I'm very happy.
Yeah.
But we also, I just don't know why. What? Why did we take a three and D guy from Vanderbilt? Why did we take him with the 16th pick? You know who was there? Precious Achiuwa. He's a baby Bam. You know how much I would love to have a baby Bam?
Yeah, that would have been good. Also, even Isaiah Stewart. You know
what? It's okay, though. Danny Ainge went out. We got Tristan Thompson. The world is fine. What the? Get the heck out of here. See, I've like not paid attention to NBA as much because it just makes me sad.
Yeah.
Knowing that we are the Detroit Lions of the NBA. We're just wasting Jalen and Jason. We're wasting them. We're not going to give them a championship. We're just wasting them.
I think they're too young to say you're wasting them.
Okay, that's fair, but it just breaks my soul.
You should have gone and got Serge Ibaka, like I said, this offseason.
I'll hit my lineup to Danny and say, hey, pick up Serge somehow in the past.
Just be grateful you never had a Brett Brown era.
Okay. Just be grateful you didn't have an era where Jeff Green was our best player. You act like At least you got first-round picks. We were just bad enough. We were just out of the playoffs and the bad side of the lottery. And what do we have to say for it? Nothing.
Hey, you guys missed the playoffs for like a few years, right? And then we're just back in it.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's just because of that Nets trade that gave you guys so much draft capital.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a drama queen when my teams are bad because, fun fact, that's if you want to look at the past 20 years of my life, which is AKA all of it except for a year, my teams have been semi-elite.
Yeah. Dude, I know. I mean, Celtics over the past 20 years or 10 years. Yeah, they're definitely one of the best teams.
And that's when I started paying attention to basketball. I understand. I'm not discounting. Yeah. I'm not saying that we're not great, and I don't love Jay. I just love everything about the Celtics. But it makes me just weep. Is there no big man on the market that just tickles your fancy, Danny Ainge? Is there none?
Dwayne Dedman's a free agent right now.
If he's
that wouldn't be a bad...
For a vet minimum, just add more big men that can't play any offense. You know what? Heck.
He can shoot. Dwayne Dedman can stretch the floor.
Let's keep him undersized. Dwayne Dedman's too big. We're going to run small ball because we saw how that worked in Houston. You know, let's go out and find keep Grant blowing Williams. Up the Rockets. Oh, my. Don't even talk about it.
As your center.
Robert Williams and Grant Williams are going to be our backcourt. The tallest man's going to be 6'10". And Joel Embiid is just going to laugh in his freaking Ugandan or what is he, Anthony? He's not Ugandan.
Cameroon.
He's just going to laugh in Cameroon at me through the television. And then he's going to do some stupid, weird thing. And then he's going to get blown out in the finals. And I'm going to have to smile back the tears because I'm so sad that he beat us. Which, fun fact, they haven't done in the playoffs. 4-0. I'm going to hold on to that till I can't. Oh.
Well, I would say there's an asterisk.
Okay.
You know,
we didn't have Ben Simmons. There's an asterisk. Wait, let's just start
because you didn't have Ben Simmons? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was going to say we had Brett Brown coaching us in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm glad.
You should go get Al Horford. He's been playing well on the Fender.
And they would love picks on that.
We would have won the NBA Finals if we would have had Al last year. No, I'm not. Yeah.
The only thing is, I don't know if you can fit him. I don't know if you can fit him on your books right now without getting rid of at least like Marcus Smart or something.
I don't want to do that. I bought a Marcus Smart jersey. I don't want to get rid of him.
You got a Marcus Smart jersey?
Yeah, it's the black, all black with the green lettering. I love it. Anyway, if we would have had Al Horford, excluding money, like if we could have made that work, I think our roster could have won the NBA Finals.
Hmm.
We would have went to the finals. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
And I think Jason Tatum would have dunked it on LeBron again. And
that would have been a good series.
Oh, yeah, it would have been.
Celtics plus.
Well, you know, Elton Brand, 10,000 IQ, holding on to Al Horford so you guys, you know, couldn't get him back.
That's why. That's what the IQ was for.
Yep.
It wasn't because they thought he would still perform at 37 years old.
But wait, would you guys have Kemba if you didn't get rid of Horford?
I said pretend money doesn't exist.
Oh, pretend. Okay, I get
you. And if Al Horford would have taken a reasonable amount of money, the answer is yes, we could have had both of them. But for some reason, he thought
it was because Ainge wouldn't give him the fourth year, wasn't it? That was why.
No, it was because he wanted a gosh dang slap away from a supermax. Okay.
I'll just censor that, I guess.
No, but you can just cut. No, he wanted a skip away from a supermax, and you just can't afford that for an old guy.
Dude, he's getting paid $27 million right now. I'm pretty sure, which is a lot, like for him. I'm saying that with the Celtics, I'm pretty sure they were giving him the same contract just for a year less, and that was the reason he went with the Sixers because he wanted the fourth year.
Well, yeah, because he's old, realized he was bad, and wanted more money.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like if the Celtics could have locked that down, if that wins you a championship, that's worth it.
It is worth it, but you know what? And Danny and Brad, we trust. We trust them. They know what they're doing. I got to break out the t-shirt. And Danny, we trust. No, it's in Brad, we trust. Brad's doing this stuff where he's letting the players coach like he's Phil Jackson, and that needs to stop.
Dude, did you see the play where the ball, like, off a rebound, like, bounced over to Brad Stevens, and, like, he caught it and, like, you know, sized up the rim like he was going to, like, shoot it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I think so.
Yeah, that just happened like a couple weeks ago. But like the ball bounces down to him and like everybody's complaining about a call. Like everybody on the Celtics are like looking at the ref complaining and he's just like in his own world, like gets the ball and like is about to shoot it and like starts dribbling it. And then like he kind of joins with the team a little bit later. Like, oh yeah, this should have been the call or whatever.
Okay. Also, but I will defend Brad. I think he gets his guys ready for games better than anybody else. Like, I think that his whole philosophy of let them coach themselves is dumb, but it's because he gets them ready during the week to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, so there's not really much else to talk about right now, but, like, we'll come back with an episode soon. Hopefully with either Jacob or Anthony, we'll be talking, or both even, talking more hoops. Even, you know, dive into a little bit of NFL offseason stuff. You know, whatever comes your way, you just know it's going to be quality content because we got the crew. So yeah. You guys want to say anything to send us off?
A quick hot take with Jacob. The Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win the 2024 NBA championship.
I thought you were going to say 24. That's what I was.
I just feel like that's their timeline. Three years, Sexland is going to win championships.
Dude, they might be one of the best teams in the NBA in terms of defense.
Which
right now, they're really also good.
Also, another quick thing. I want someone to be as loyal to me as Tom Thibodeau is to Derrick Rose.
To Derrick Rose, yeah. We should mention that. Derrick Rose is on the Knicks. Derrick
Rose trade, yep.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Good fit.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want the Knicks to be in the playoffs.
Honestly, I kind of do too.
Yeah. Like that's just fun. I think they deserve it. Yeah.
I think Knicks fans deserve it. It's been too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
But with that backcourt, the star-studded backcourt now with Derrick Rose, Austin Rivers, Emmanuel Quickly, Alfred Payton.
I think they need to trade Julius Randle, but. I get
Frank Ntilikina.
Elite.
They got a steal in Derrick Rose from that Dennis Smith Jr. trade. I don't think he's going to work out at all in the NBA. Dude,
Dennis Smith Jr., his career's over, I feel like.
Yeah, he's a bust.
Remember when he was going to be Rookie of the Year?
He can jump, but I mean.
Yeah, he's so athletic.
I like how he told us to wrap it up and we like open another segment. But yeah, we can.
No, yeah, it's whatever. Yeah, so. Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Like the video. You can follow the feed on Spotify as well. But yeah, other than that, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Adios, amigos.